Turn with me this morning to Jeremiah 42. And I'd like to read 42, verse 1 through 17, and then we'll go to chapter 43 and just read through verse 7. Then all the army officers, including Jonan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, "Please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now we are only a few, are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do." "I have heard you," replied Jeremiah the prophet. "I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you have requested. I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us, whether it is favorable or unfavorable. We will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God." 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So he called together Jonan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition, says. If you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I have relented concerning the disaster I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord. For I am with you, and will save you, and deliver you from his hands. I will show you compassion, so that he will have compassion on you, and restore you to your land. However, if you say, 'We will not stay in this land,' and so disobey the Lord your God, and if you say, 'No, we will go and live in Egypt, where we will not see war, or hear the trumpet, or be hungry for bread,' then hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt, and you do go and settle there, then the sword you fear will overtake you there, and the famine you dread will follow you into Egypt, and you will die. Indeed, all who are determined to go to Egypt to settle there will die by the sword, famine, and plague. Not one of them will survive or escape the disaster I bring on them." And then let's skip to 43, verse 1 through 7. When Jeremiah had finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, everything the Lord had sent him to tell them, Azariah, son of Hoshaiah, and Jonan, son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, "You are lying. The Lord your God has not sent you to say you must not go to Egypt to settle there, but Barak, son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Babylonians so they may kill us or carry us into exile to Babylon." So Jonan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers and all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Jonan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers led away all the remnant of Judah who had come back to live in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been scattered. They also led away all those whom Nebzaradan, commander of imperial guard, had left with Gedaliah, son of Achim, son of Shaphan, the men, the women, the children, and the king's daughters, and they took Jeremiah the prophet and Barak, son of Neriah, along with them. So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tapphanes. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you having read and heard your word. Lord, we just ask that you open these words to us to bring meaning into our lives today. Lord, this seems like ancient history, and it can be confusing. But Lord, just bring about understanding. guide us as we go through this, Lord. I just pray that you be with me as I give this message. Lord, just speak through me, speak to me. And Lord, may these be your words, Lord, and not my own. So Lord, bless this message this morning. Send your spirit to dwell upon us. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. So I want to share with you this morning a story, a true story from my childhood. This happened when I was roughly 10 years old. A friend and I thoroughly enjoyed playing Cowboys and Indians. And this was one hot summer day shortly after the 4th of July. We had leftover fireworks, and we thought it would be a great idea to take them up into my dad's haymow in the barn. You know, to use them for gunfire and things like that. We'd build forts, and we didn't think twice about it. Thankfully, my dad saw us carrying about 50 black cats and a lighted punk into the haymow, and he put a stop to our little mission before we burned the barn down. So, you know, that could have ended very badly for us. We could have burned the barn to the ground just for the sake of some fun that we didn't think too far about. And we weren't very happy when my dad told us no. And he wasn't very happy with us for thinking it was a good idea. But I want to talk a little bit today. Think about that kind of perspective as we talk about this story of the men of Judah. And the message today is to obey God's instructions, whether we like them or not. So, as we look at this story, this is one of those stories that really does have a clear message for us in today's world. Let's just talk about a little bit where we're at as a nation today. And I'm going to stay away from politics as best I can. But every year on the 4th of July, we celebrate freedom from tyranny of other nations. We're glad to live free, live our lives free as we wish. We're not oppressed anymore. But let me ask you this. As Christians, are you and I free to live as we wish? Are we free to do whatever we want? Do you sometimes wish you could do whatever you wanted and get away with it? It seems to be kind of the mentality of many people in this nation today. And it's not just this nation, but in the world. But we act as if we don't have enough freedom. If we look at the U.S. as a whole, we find this ever-present push, this desire to get away from God. So we kind of see that in Jeremiah. The men of Judah, they had that desire to get away from God. And I want to point out that they acknowledged God. They even respected God. But somehow they decided they knew better. I mean, the first half of the chapter that I read in 42 seems pretty encouraging. They seem like they tell Jeremiah, "We'll submit to you. We'll submit to God, whatever it is that he wants us to do, whether it's favorable or unfavorable." But then, when it comes right down to it, they still have their selfish desire. They think they know better. We can move to Egypt. There's no wars going on there right now. That sounds peaceful. You know, sometimes even Christians in today's world are ignoring God's instructions. There are so many instances that entire congregations and denominations choose to ignore portions of God's word because they're afraid of being singled out or ridiculed, or because it makes them uncomfortable. The devil fights in such a personal way that he robs us of our hope, fills us with fear. Just one instance, even in the RCA, as we fight this battle on human sexuality. It's a tough subject. And there's so many different sides of it. Words of hatred being thrown from both directions. We have the Word of God telling us what He desires for His people. Not simply because He wants to rule over us, but rather, He is a good Father who wants the best for His children. And yet sometimes we choose the path of least resistance. It seems like the best way to avoid conflict. And those who do that often draw others along with them, or maybe even drag them along by force. See, the problem with the men of Judah is that their fear of men overtook their fear of the Lord. Think about that. They were afraid that the king of Babylon was going to come and finish them off, so to speak. Take them all into Babylonian exile as slaves. You know, and sometimes in today's world, we don't often have that here of people, of the threat of someone coming and taking us all into slavery. We have a different sort of pressure. People accuse us of being hateful just because we are true to God. We stand up for what we believe in, what's right and true. You get that pressure. You know, every day we're faced with decisions. If we stop to consider the choices we make, it really comes down to two factors. Do we base our decisions on our own selfish desires to look good or feel good, or to not be ridiculed by men? Or do we think about how we can reflect God's desire for our lives? How often do we even ask God for direction in our lives? Do you and I know how to fix problems better than God does? We don't often understand that God has a plan. It's easy to get caught up in thinking we can fix it, or we know best. So what should we do in instances when we're faced with a tough decision, we don't know how to deal with it? The Apostle James tells us in James 1, verses 5 through 8. And I'm just going to read this to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, You must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. So when we're touched, we're given these tough decisions. How do we choose? James tells us, pray to God. Ask for wisdom. It will be given to you. As long as you believe it will be given to you. Don't ask in a half-hearted way. Don't have doubt in your mind while you're praying to God. God, help me with this decision. Boy, I hope it works, you know. I think you're there, God. So these men of Judah had that doubt. That doubt crept in. At first they're like, yes, Jeremiah, go pray to God on our behalf. Pray to our God. And then when Jeremiah comes with an answer they don't like, they turn around and say, well, that's your God. So how hard is it to do that? To pray earnestly in the right mind? Because that's where we must base all our decisions. And I want you to know that God is very much alive. He still speaks to those who listen for His voice. The key is to stop and listen. And then when we hear or feel or see God working, we obey. We follow His leading in obedience. Remember that God is the only one in this world who is guaranteed to never lead you astray. And other times, maybe you've prayed about it, but you're just not getting the answer, any answer really. I think we've all been there. Where do you turn then? You turn to the Word He has already given us. Because a lot of answers to our problems today are already written right here. We just have to seek, read. And then when you read God's Word, you'll find that He gives instruction. But when He gives instruction, it is almost always accompanied by a promise or a warning. God literally gives us simple reasons to follow Him. And yet sometimes we don't want to believe Him. Think about all the rain and flooding that we've had this spring. I know many of us probably just don't want to think about it. But imagine if you or I were driving and we came upon a road closed sign. But instead of turning around, we drove through fast-moving deep water. And our car got swept off the road and destroyed. We had to be rescued. We couldn't blame anyone else for that decision, could we? Because we'd been warned. It's clearly marked there, road closed. Do not go through the deep water. we choose to ignore the warnings, then it's our own fault. We can't blame God for punishing us for things that we ignore in His Scripture. We can all be this way sometimes, can't we? And sometimes we fight God on some of the smallest and silliest things, too. For instance, I know that God says we shouldn't covet our neighbor's belongings. But maybe I just really want that new car or that new house. I'm jealous of their vacations. Does anything good ever come out of jealousy? In the history of the whole entire world, has anything ever good ever come out of jealousy? No. And yet, this is something we still struggle with today, don't we? And God tells us plainly that it's wrong, as well as the results if we ignore Him. Sometimes we just choose to keep going our own ways. You know, I think that this is a problem that we all have. And it's not just jealousy, but we always have in this fast-paced world that we live in. We have people constantly shouting at us, telling us what to believe. You start looking at the political debates, and then all the people who talk about both sides of it, and everybody trying to get other people to believe something else, and they said this, but they actually meant this, and people start trying to do that with Scripture even. Well, it clearly says this, but, you know, God is love, so we really can't, you know, tell somebody that it's wrong. You know, we have that, that's one of the most harmful things we have today. People use that love. Satan even whispers it in the back of our mind, harmlessly, seemingly harmlessly. Jesus loves everyone, no matter what. It is true statement. Jesus does love everyone. But that does not mean that Jesus loves everything we do. God hates sin, but continues to love the sinner. In much the same way that a parent hates it when their child disobeys them, but continues to love their child. Want what's best for our children. See, proper love needs to have boundaries and rules in order to maintain control and order. That's what God's laws are for us. As Christians, we must strive to find that balance between Old Testament law and New Testament love and grace. As Christ teaches us in Matthew 22, we must first love God above all else, including ourselves, then we must love our neighbor. And neighbor means everyone. We must love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And then he goes on to say, all the law and the instructions of the prophets ought to be used in the way, and I'm paraphrasing here, in a way that they're the byproduct of the love that we have for God and our fellow humans. God loves His people, but if we knowingly and carelessly sin against God by ignoring His instruction and guidance for our lives, then our downfall and our destruction is our own fault. We can choose to burn down our own barn, or we can choose to follow God's commands, no matter how difficult they seem, no matter what the world is telling us. And that is why it's important to read and study God's word while praying, wholeheartedly praying that He will give us wisdom, that He will show us what paths we must take, that He will give us the words that we need to say when others come against us. And trust in knowing that God will provide the necessary strength and wisdom to all those who seek Him. I hope that in every decision that you and I make, that we can remember to ask God for direction. And let Him guide us through that process. And this can be applied to every situation in life, no matter what it is, changing jobs, moving, buying a different vehicle even, dating and marriage, and so much more. The list goes on. I challenge you, as you leave this place of worship today, go home. Think about how often you truly live this life, truly try to live this life without God's help. We've all been there, haven't we? Just remember, when you choose to follow Jesus, He will actively lead you in this life. There will be dark and dry valleys in this life, but if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will lead us to the quiet pastures of His glory. Choose wisely, brothers and sisters. Amen.